From the Edwin Cardinal O'Brien Pastoral Center in Washington, D.C., home base for the Archdiocese for the Military Services USA, this is Catholic Military Life, a podcast of the Archdiocese. I'm your moderator, Taylor Henry. And for this edition, it's my great pleasure to welcome back to our microphones Dr. Mark Moitoza, Vice Chancellor for Evangelization here at the Archdiocese. Mark, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks, Taylor. It's good to be with you again.
And our topic today is, great to have you, by the way, our topic today is the upcoming National Eucharistic Congress, which is taking place in Indianapolis in July. And the exact dates actually are July 17th through the 21st. Before we get into this, Mark, I just want to inform our listener of your impressive background. You have a Doctor of Theology and Church Ministry from LaSalle University, a Doctor of Ministry, and you went to Leuven, the Catholic University in Leuven, and on top of all that, you have a Bachelor's in Economics from the University of Rhode Island. And your role here is to supervise the evangelization efforts of the Archdiocese. Big job.
It is in this global Archdiocese, but we have a great team that is helping create that initiative to reach out and really help all the people who are in active duty and their families to value the importance of their faith and to live that mission of their faith as they serve a mission in the military. So really looking at the focus of sacrifice, and I think that melds very well with this idea of Eucharistic sacrifice that the church has been focusing on for the past few years. This is a three-year initiative that the bishops of the United States have created a desire to help us to understand the Eucharist more so that we're not living it just for ourselves, but also serving others. And so from the Eucharistic Congress, there will be an opportunity to really go out on mission. So this whole process of the Eucharistic revival, I think, is something that those in the military can really understand in their own pilgrimage journey as they move from place to place to serve.
And I should add, for the listener who's not aware of the Congress coming up in Indianapolis, or at least not aware of the details, it will take place at Lucas Oil Stadium and other nearby venues in downtown Indianapolis within a walking distance. And I think the idea for this Congress stemmed from the finding that only about a third of U.S. Catholics believe in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist.
Yeah, there's been a diminishing understanding of the Eucharist and really how to live a Eucharistic life, that there's really a human and a divine relationship as we approach the Eucharist, so that we need Jesus to help us to connect with God, to give thanks to God, because on our own, as human beings, we don't have enough to give thanks to God. So having Jesus help us to understand that gratitude and mediate that for us is something that we need in our lives. So that's the sacrifice of salvation that Jesus gave to us, and then helps us to really move forward to connect with God. So that human and divine connection, I think, is really important for us to re-engage people to understand a little bit better. I think in society, we're so used to receiving something for ourselves. And many have found Mass as something that I do for myself, but there's a community-wide engagement that we don't go to Mass just for ourselves. We go to Mass to be nourished and to serve others with the gifts that we have been given through God's grace.
And preparing for this podcast, I looked up, what does Eucharist mean? You know, we hear it all the time. It's the source and summit of the Christian life, that Pope Francis so eloquently put it. The term Eucharist originates from the Greek word Eucharistia, meaning thanksgiving.
That's right.
Well, put all this in perspective for us. You know, what is the purpose of the Congress? We've heard about the revival, a three-year revival, Eucharistic revival that's underway. This is part of that. And then we've had a guest on our program talking about the Eucharistic pilgrimage.
Yes.
Pull all this together for us and give us the background. What will take place at this event, and how is the Archdiocese for the Military Services involved?
Well, there are really four pillars of this Eucharistic revival, and it's looking at what is our personal encounter? How do we bring people to Jesus? and help them recognize the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. And then how are we Christ to others? Right? So personal encounters, then to really reinvigorate devotion to the Eucharist. Every military chapel has a Blessed Sacrament chapel, a place where Catholics can go and pray in front of the presence of Jesus in the tabernacle. So that's an important reminder that we have this gift to be able to connect with when we have access to that. And then a sense of deepening formation so that we really understand a little bit more about who Jesus is in our own lives, how we can witness to how Jesus has been important to us and help others to connect with that relationship as well. And then there's a sense of missionary sending. We hear that at the end of Mass, you know. We're dismissed to go forth and share the good news. So what does that mean for us? And this is what I was referencing a little bit before, that so often our lives are so busy, and in the military, schedules have so much to do that often we're checking things off the list, and we can get into a mode of just doing things by rote and for ourselves. So that this whole revival is a reminder of that Jesus sacrificed his life for us, and that we have some sense of sacrificing our lives for others too, that our daily schedule is sometimes based on the needs of others and for things that happen that we haven't planned for, that we need to divert sometimes to be present to a particular need.
Now, how does one go about, registering or enrolling? How do you register to become to attend the Congress?
Well, there are multiple ways, but I would say from the Archdiocese for the Military Services has a delegation that will be attending, and there are discounted tickets. We have a number of those while they're still available. Those are $200. The normal registration rate for an individual is $360. People can go to our website and find the access for that just by typing in National Eucharistic Congress or National Eucharistic Revival. They'll get right to that. Or they can contact our office and we definitely will help them. But that's one way. You can register to be at the Congress for the whole period of time. Or if you only have one day and are in Indianapolis, there are options to do that as well. So there are multiple avenues. Some religious organizations also have delegations that are going. So it's visiting our website or the website of the National Eucharistic Congress will help people to find out how to register.
And our website, millarch.org. Any idea, Mark Motoiza, how many active duty military, how many ROTC, how many enlisted personnel will be attending the Congress?
That's a challenging question, mostly because this is happening in the summer, and that's when a lot of people in the military move. And the Archdiocese for the Military Services was very aware of that, so we reserved a good number of tickets to have those available right up to the end. So we know that some people will not know their schedule until another month from now. So we don't have the exact numbers. I think as we get closer to the date, we'll have a better sense of that. We do, however, hope to invite active duty young adults, so those maybe 18 to 26 years old, who would like to participate. We've found housing options for them as well, along with the discounted tickets. So.
Wow, and that's a big discount, $200 for a $360 registration fee ordinarily.
It is. The only caveat there is you've got to get yourself there, and for many pilgrims also find housing, and then waiting in line with 80,000 other people for meals around Indianapolis.
Okay. Now, let's talk a little bit more about evangelization and how this ties into evangelization. Are you expecting the presence of military Catholics there to draw people to the realization that folks in the military, like civilians, have faith lives, and that there's a message for other people in the military, other Catholics. What's your thoughts on those lines?
Well, I think we have two approaches. One is for those who are in the military archdiocese to participate in this pilgrimage and Congress as they are able. They will represent those who can't go because we have people serving all around the world. So that's one aspect, that they bring the hopes and desires and needs of all those who are serving to the Congress, and then bring that back to where they're serving and share that. That's one aspect of, I think, the Congress that will be really important. So the aspect of evangelization that's important to this is for people to understand their relationship with Jesus and how they share that in both word and action. So sometimes it's a witness that somebody asks a question, why is faith important to you? Why is the Catholic faith important to you? And how does that help you serve in the military? Sometimes it's just people seeing, hey, you take a time during the week to go to daily mass, or I see that your family goes every Sunday. That simple witness and also how you serve other people helps people understand there's something in your life that is bringing happiness and fulfillment, and people are attracted to that. So this whole idea of understanding Christ is not just to understand Christ for myself, but really how do I help bring Christ into the world so that others may form a relationship with Jesus that will inspire them to share their gifts as well.
And for our listener interested in attending the Congress, you can find more information at the Congress website. That email, URL is eucharisticcongress.org, eucharisticcongress.org. Mark Moitoza, the Vice Chancellor for Evangelization here at the Archdiocese for the Military Services, what are some of the events that will be taking place? Speakers, breakout sessions, confessions, masses, what all will take place at the Congress?
Well, you just listed half of them, so, okay. So thank you for doing my job. Well, you know, when you think about what's happening here in May, there will be the Eucharistic pilgrimage, and they're starting from four different locations. So from the East Coast, from the West Coast, from the South of Texas, and from the North of Wisconsin, all over a two-month period converging into Indianapolis. So this is a really interesting perspective for us in the military because we're used to being moved from place to place, and here the Eucharist is going past many places where people will be serving. So we even have a map on our website letting people know when the Eucharist will be coming by, so maybe they can participate in that pilgrimage. So that's one option. And then when they're at the Congress itself, it's the idea of all those four corners of the country coming together. The last time this happened was 83 years ago in Minneapolis, St. Paul. So now the country is coming together, and there will be impact sessions. Those will be these morning sessions based on the several themes, and the pilgrim who participates can choose which theme they would like to sustain throughout the period of time. There will be liturgies. Sometimes there'll be liturgies for youth, different languages, and as well as liturgies for everybody together. There will be breakout sessions every afternoon, a whole opportunity to participate and listen to speakers talk about how the Eucharist is important. There will be an expo hall, which will have exhibit areas, and in fact, the Archdiocese will have a booth in that exhibit hall. And our hope there is to invite all 80,000 pilgrims to pray for more priests to serve in the military, to help bring the presence of Christ through the Eucharist to the locations where our military are serving.
Do you anticipate you'll go to the Congress?
I will be there helping at that exhibit booth, and also connecting with the pilgrims who are part of our delegation to help them navigate whatever happens in their experience there.
Now, this is the first Eucharistic Congress held in the United States in 83 years.
83, yeah.
You know, what is the purpose of these Eucharistic Congresses generally? I mean, they're fairly recent development and activity in the Catholic Church, only in the last 150 years or so.
Right. So,
I mean, is this like a revival, or is it like a faith boosting event, or tell me more. I mean, what's the point of all this?
So this is the 10th Eucharistic Congress that's happening in the United States. There are also international Eucharistic Congresses, and a couple of those have happened in the United States as well. But the idea is, again, to remember the real focus of why we are a church,
right?
That Jesus is the center of everything that we do, and that Christ gives us gifts, is in the sacrament, provides healing, is with us at every moment. So many of us, especially today, feel unworthy. And so in our sense of unworthiness and darkness, we can feel that we're alone. And that's a real issue that young people are struggling with, especially with anxiety. So helping to remind that the presence of Christ is always with us, and the need that we have to celebrate the sacraments together in community is incredibly important for us. I think that's the reason. It's more than a boost, right? It's a understanding a depth of who we are as a people of faith and how we share the gift of that faith with other people.
And build a sense of community, a faith community.
Yeah, and how important that is. You know, I was thinking back, my own first communion was celebrated at Offutt Air Force Base in Nebraska. Sadly, it was in the early 70s, so I was in a rust leisure suit at the time. but that was very fashionable then.
Mine was light blue,
okay.
Sky blue.
There you go. But that was a starting point of understanding the importance of the Eucharist. And I remember every time our family moved to a new place, making a visit to the chapel was one of the first things that we did. And we often found it to be very welcoming. Right? So that sense of Jesus, the hospitality of Jesus in the community was important for us. Because, you know, all of us who are moving in the military know what it's like to be alone, to be the new person, have to walk through the doors and not know anybody, and have to make that first step, whether it's into school, a new workplace, new housing, where everything is unknown, and where anxiety can certainly build up. And yet, while we might feel alone in that moment, we never really are, because Christ was traveling with us to that new place and was with us through all those interactions. And then we are surprised at the welcome that we get happily, and find these moments of faith in interactions with other people that are very important and sustaining and to us, so that we want to then share that with other people.
And this is something I think is a difficult thing for non-Catholics to get their heads around, the Catholic belief that Christ is truly present in the host that the priest consecrates and distributes at Mass. It's a mystery. And you are involved in the work of evangelization. I'm sure you've encountered folks who just can't get it, who just can't get their mind around this idea. What do you say to someone who struggles with that question about our faith, the real true presence of Christ in the Eucharist?
I think the most you can do is listen to the person, to hear what their perspective is, and remember that in society today, we're often looking for a scientific answer, right? We want to know, here's a problem, what's the solution? And this would be true in the military. There's a very logical order to get a task done. And so when we're talking to people about mystery, right, we're pushing the boundaries a bit, and how important it is for us to think a little bit on a deeper level and to realize that my life isn't my own. To just do what I want for myself, that somehow I'm here, and for those of us who have been baptized, we've been given a gift that needs to be shared. So each community has needs, and many of the gifts to support those needs are there. But if we're just sitting back and doing things on our own, nothing's going to happen, and those needs will continue to be unmet. So I think that's one very somewhat of a tangible way to talk about mystery. But often people will struggle and say, well, I want the mystery solved. Well, we all do, but that's the beauty of a trust in divine providence, that I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know when I move to this new installation, am I actually going to be met and welcomed? Right? I have to trust that that's going to happen. So there are very practical kind of, I think, staying away from the theological terms, even though we have to spend a lot of time thinking about that to be able to answer on a level that is approachable to a person is probably an important way to go from an area of evangelization. And then, as I mentioned before, the way you live your life, the discipline of faith and making prayer a priority and making sacraments a priority, both the Eucharist, confession, and all of that is important for us to realize. There's something about what helps me find fulfillment beyond my own desire.
Let's talk about the new evangelization. There came a point in the church where I think what Pope John Paul II realized that Catholics need to do more reaching out. I think for some of us, cradle Catholics in particular, we tend to over time get reserved about showing our faith and knowing how to do it because a lot of folks get turned off when you get religion. You get religious on them. Yeah. How are you going about trying to carry forward the new evangelization without being a clashing symbol, I think St. Paul described it as.
Well, I think, you know, the term, the new evangelization that St. John Paul II was advocating for was looking at new methods and new ardor. What are ways that we can help in modern society talk about Jesus? And there are so many people who are very, very good about that. Sometimes, though, what we've done is we've relied on the experts, those who are creating videos that we see online, who are very good about talking about the faith, or who are speakers at conferences. We're relying on them to share the message, or we're relying on solely the priests or our clergy to do that. So I think the new evangelization was to remind us, if you are baptized, as I mentioned before, you have something to share. And part of life is discerning what is that gift? What is God's will for me, for my life? What are the different seasons of life and how I share those gifts? So I think helping people really to understand that is a great way of training for the new evangelization. In some ways, in the Archdiocese, we've been trying to do that is with Team St. Paul by sending missionaries on military installations. Also with our Reach More initiative, where we're actually helping people go through a 12-week training session through Zoom to really look at who is God calling me to interact with, and even paying attention to that in prayer. And actually having the courage to go forth and just say hello to someone and build a relationship. So these are the kinds of things that we're trying to slowly impart upon the faithful. This is happening in dioceses around the country, the importance of realizing we can't just go to church for ourselves anymore.
And I think the Congress ties into all that, the National Eucharistic Congress, because it will certainly get attention far and wide, not only through the pilgrimage. The folks who are traveling to Indianapolis from all four parts of the country. But the event itself will draw thousands to Indianapolis and is sure to draw some media coverage. Some of it will be live streamed, I think.
That's correct. Yes.
So the audience will be wider than just those who are physically present for the event. What other preparations are we making here at the Archdiocese? You have these passes available. They can reach out and get those through our website, correct? millarch.org.
That's correct.
5 days, right?
That's right.
And have you had any contact with some of the military folks who will be attending? Any idea of how many? Totally.
Well, right now, about a third of the tickets that we have available have been purchased. So we're on a push right now to invite people to say, hey, if your schedule makes it possible for you to participate, we would really encourage and invite representatives from around the Archdiocese to be able to join us. Archbishop Broglio will be present, and we hope to have a delegation mass with all the people who are part of the Archdiocese. So that will be one way to do that. But it's also a reminder that those who do come and are able to be there will be sent on mission. And I think those who participate live stream as well. And that's the whole sense of revival, not just the 80,000 who are able to join in Indianapolis, but for the whole country to have this sense of understanding that we are on a mission to share Jesus with other people. So there will be the visible aspects of that we see with the pilgrimage to Indianapolis, the gathering itself, and then the disbursement back to the whole country, and then in our case, around the world, because of where military serves, to really go on mission and say, we have received Jesus in the Eucharist, we have been enlivened by that experience because of this revival, and we want to share that joy with others. You know, we're in this Easter season now, where we sing the Alleluia again, where we find joy once again, and I think the revival does that same thing, that we move through the Easter season, beyond Pentecost, throughout the whole year, to really advocate and let people know who Jesus is.
I'm talking to Dr. Mark Moitoza, the Vice Chancellor for Evangelization here at the Archdiocese for the Military Services. And in your role as Vice Chancellor of Evangelization, you are responsible for faith formation, religious education on military installations all over the world. I mean, this is a huge job. How do you do it?
With God's grace, and sometimes what I like about it is that every day in this ministry, there's a different request. So we try to provide the resources that priests and Catholic coordinators need to help support the faithful. We're not always good at it, and sometimes we have to learn how things adapt. So we're doing more with technology now, more with social media, and really trying to figure out what are ways to help equip people in what their particular needs are. So listening to priests who are serving on active duty is very important to us. Listening to the faithful who are serving is also important. And then reaching out to those who request those needs. One other way that the Archdiocese does that is we have several boards. One of them is a young adult board that actually meets on a quarterly basis. And when the Archbishop's schedule permits, he also is listening to young adults and what's happening with their lives. And then we're out visiting installations, or we visit people in the military at different conferences that happen throughout the year. And that helps us to connect. So it's a big task, but we have a lot of help.
Young adults is a key population in the U.S. military. The military is largely composed of young adults, which would be 18 to 35 maybe?
Yes, and we target really on 18 to 26 for that age.
Right. Yeah. And so right now, in the few minutes we have left, what would you say is the biggest challenge in reaching out to young adults in the military?
Well, in the military, we experience the same things that are happening in Catholic parishes around the country. So a real challenge, I think, is having a community of faith that is welcoming. As I spoke about in the military growing up, that was a great experience. I think now we are so busy, sometimes we forget that aspect of hospitality and how important it is. So having communities that are welcoming, I think when young people walk through the chapel doors, to see that other young people are there and that people say hello to them, that's incredibly important. But we can't just wait for young people to come into the chapels. We also have to go out. And that's why we are we have Team St. Paul giving that example, not because they're the only ones to do it, but because they remind all of us that we should be inviting people.
There's a lot of pressure on young people these days to be non-religious. We have a lot of secular influence in our culture, both in the military and outside of the military. And there's a lot of politics that gets involved in religion. And so it's a tall order to effectively evangelize, I would expect. And I admire the job you and your staff do, by the way. I've been talking to Dr. Mark Moitoza, Vice Chancellor for Evangelization here at the Archdiocese for the Military Services. We've been talking about the upcoming Eucharistic Congress, the National Eucharistic Congress, taking place in Indianapolis from July 17th through the 21st of this year. You can find more information about the Congress at its website, eucharisticcongress.org. That's eucharisticcongress.org. And for those in the military who would like to attend, you can get passes to the five-day event through the Archdiocese for the Military Services. And Mark, once again, for our listener who's interested, how does one go about obtaining one of these discounted passes that the Military Archdiocese is offering?
So they can visit our website, milarch.org. If they go into the search bar and just type in National Eucharistic Congress or National Eucharistic Revival, they will see the webpage that we have, and there's a button that they can click, and they can go through the online process for that.
Dr. Mark Moitoza, Vice Chancellor for Evangelization here at the Archdiocese for the Military Services. Thank you so much for talking to me.
Thank you, Taylor.
Catholic Military Life is a podcast of the Archdiocese for the Military Services USA, erected by Pope St. John Paul II in 1985 to provide for the free exercise of Catholic faith in the U.S. military, VA medical centers, and the government's civilian workforce beyond U.S. borders. 1.8 million American Catholics worldwide depend on the Archdiocese and its endorsed chaplains for pastoral care. For more information, visit milarch.org. The Archdiocese for the Military Services USA, serving those who serve.